Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast That Wouldn't Die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Entitled to see movies that don't suck.
I would tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
I was not expecting that.
After you've scrubbed all the floors in Hyrule, then we can talk about mercy. Take him away.
No!
We are going to die.
Yeah. My ship sails in the morning. I wonder what's for dinner.
It's a gentle.
Join your host, Cam Sully, each week as he chats with special guests to discuss many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons.
Listener discretion is advised.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show. Jacked Up Review Show.
Conjoined twins called Siamese challenge life at their first breath. Some twins have been separated and lead normal lives. Others never can. Sisters. They were once one in body and perhaps one in mind. Danielle and Dominique. One loving, one hating, one innocent, the other...
Welcome to the last episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hello.
This week, we're discussing the Brian De Palma classic, Sisters, starring Margot Kidder, Charles Durning. Who else is in this? Anybody?
Some people.
Veruca
Some people.
Salt? What's her
Veruca name? Salt, absolutely. Willy Wonka.
It's something like that.
We the have Phantom from Phantom of the Paradise.
That's right.
He is. Absolutely. Each week on the podcast of Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. But this week we have special guests. We have Sarah and Corey from the Gag Me with a Chainsaw podcast.
Hey.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Of course. Aaron, what's the latest with you?
Oh, nothing. It's raining outside. I don't feel like doing anything. I have busted out the electric blanket and I sit here, but I don't complain about the cold because the heat is so much worse.
Okay.
That's fair enough. I'm going to San Francisco in like 2 weeks for a conference for work. So that's what I'm living for that. Nice. Staying at the Fairmont, living that.
Ooh, are you going to go to the tiki bar there?
Yes. That is where our parents went on their first date.
Aww.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
That is a fact. They both went to Bay Area colleges, and that's where they went on their first date.
Oh, a Melly Kaliki Maka to them.
Wee.
Now, this is an extra special episode because you guys are all in Bakersfield. I'm the only one not in Baco itself. So, good time.
Yeah, nice.
The land of many tiki bars, evidently.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, that one.
The good one?
It's one, but it's two. How about that?
Yeah, two and one.
Sure, yeah.
I'm sure.
Much like our movie this week.
Oh, yes.
So, Aaron, why don't you give us the 30-second synopsis for Sisters?
Margot Kidder. I'm guessing pre-Superman, pre-being a homeless person, is French-Canadian and is looking for trouble. And there was like a whole like red herring with this conjoined twin, but Aaron sussed it all out right at the beginning. Also, did I tell you that I'm not a big fan of Brian De Palma?
Uh-oh.
Kevin lives and dies with Brian De Palma.
Well, hang on. You love Carrie.
I love Carrie.
Well, I mean,
he should have just retired right after Carrie.
Oh.
Okay.
I have a lot of bold statements. I mess around.
I wouldn't say I'm a De Palma file per se. I liked Body Double, right? That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's all right.
Yeah.
We did an episode on Dress to Kill. We're a big fan
Dress
of that
to Kill. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
The Absolutely. First Mission Impossible.
Yes. The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was one of those ones that was really good when it came out. And then you were like, okay. I mean, Sean Connery's in it, though.
Absolutely.
That's the reason you're watching it. Not Costner.
Clearly.
No.
Now, Aaron, this is the first time you ever saw Sisters?
I have never heard of it.
Never even heard of it.
It is very De Palma-y, though. Definitely.
Indeed. Corey, when was the first time, do you remember, you saw Sisters?
Oh, it was probably 5 to 10 years ago. Yeah. I liked it immediately.
What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, the first time I saw it was quite a while back as well. Then kind of did a rewatch a few years ago. But every time I watch it, I'm surprised that the twist isn't that she's not French. I don't know.
That's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I don't know. I'm just like, that's not real when she starts in with her French accent.
That is one of those
French Canadian.
Yeah. No, I just don't have the ear for it, I guess.
Well, is it like, is it bad acting or is there a twist coming? Who's to say?
Sure.
Right?
Hey, I bought it.
I was fooled. This is the first time I've ever seen it, and I think I'd only heard of it within the last year, because this is like 1972 De Palma. This is early.
Yeah, this is early.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's the first time you ever saw Margot Kidder's boob.
Yes.
Absolutely. Maybe the only time. I don't know.
I don't think you see her boobs in
Superman.
Well.
They don't call him the Man of Steel for nothing. Rock hard. I'm sorry. Steel hard.
Well, in Amityville Horror, you don't see anything, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, no. Right?
I always forget that's her in Amityville Horror, too.
She did a lot of horror in the 70s. She was also in, I'm having a stroke.
Black Christmas.
Black Christmas.
Oh, yes! That's a classic.
Yes. Not French Canadian in that, though.
No.
Strangely enough.
Another twist.
Made it better.
Now, why did she have to be French Canadian? Is there something we need to know?
It's an artistic choice.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Parisienne. I'm going to be French Canadian.
Well, go ahead, please.
The story was inspired by, I think, some Russian twins. So maybe he didn't want to do Russian, but he wanted to do foreign.
Yeah, maybe she couldn't do the Russian accent.
That's right. Canada's kind of exotic, you know.
Quebec.
Absolutely. Why don't we jump right into the highlights? Aaron, what do you got so far to start?
I think it was super racist that they give the black man free tickets to go to the African room.
I mean, he thought so too. He was shaking his head at that. And yeah. Corey and I watched it together last week, and I was like, there was no way that whatever uniforms they have for their servers weren't going to be just wildly, wildly inappropriate. And
absolutely.
Boy, were they.
Good grief. I mean,
it was like an African-American club. It would have been just super. I thought it was going to be like a tiki bar where it was going to be a bunch of white dudes smoking cigars in their leisure suits with their floozies.
But it was,
no,
like,
it was like the Rainforest Cafe, but like super... super problematic.
Can we also talk about how they meet? Because they are on a hidden camera show called Peeping Toms.
Yeah.
With an
inscrutable like judging process. Like, we could not figure out what they were supposed to be choosing from or what was the right answer or the wrong answer. I don't know.
It was like a super rapey gong show.
It was. Well, what was it? She was supposed to be a blind girl in a locker room with no wall.
Right.
Yeah, like she goes into the wrong one or whatever, or doesn't real, I don't know. And is he going to stay and watch, or is he going to turn away, or is he going to say something? And they're like, does he choose chivalry?
Yeah.
Right.
When did they cut? I mean, how much clothes was she supposed to take off on this national TV show before someone said cut?
Well, and if he's a total perv, do they still show the episode? Is he sitting there going, hey?
Does he sign the release?
If he's wildly masturbating, does it just keep rolling? Keep rolling.
These are questions we may never know the answer to.
We may not. We may not.
I know they would keep rolling on the gong show if anybody was masturbating.
That's true.
I read
no gongs. No gongs.
No gongs.
The host doing it, though.
Like, there was a gong show that was like Naked Ladies gong show. Like, really?
What?
Not, excuse me. Not the gong show.
I was like, what? Are you getting this on the dark web, Kevin? Is this 4chan?
Like, I don't remember this from the board game that we had when I was a kid.
I meant candid camera. There was a naked camera. Not a naked gong show. But I would tune in for that. I gotta be honest.
Yeah. You gotta bang the gong while you're naked.
I can see candid camera having like kind of a left, darker side.
Absolutely.
Well, there's that Naked Attraction, that British show that's kind of similar.
What's on Naked Attraction?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us more.
Oh, gosh. It's a dating show where they choose people just based on their naked bodies, and they reveal it slowly. Like, they start
from
the
toes up.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down.
You know what? I was in Ireland over the summer, and we were flipping channels, and we thought we stumbled upon like Cinemax or something, or the Playboy channel. You're absolutely right. It was like just dongs over. It was like three dongs. I'm like, whoa, what? Look, I'm from America. I guess we're prudes, but it seemed like during, the dinner hour, maybe not dongs galore is all I'm saying.
The British are supposed to be more repressed than us.
Clearly not.
Apparently not. Yeah, they're like, no, I like it. Nice, tidy, a bit cheeky.
Pass the salt while we have my
dinner.
That's why they eat all those sausages for breakfast. They're a very phallic society.
Angus and mash.
Yeah.
As long as they're tucked away inside their little house, they can let all their kinks out, but not out in public.
Clearly. Well, they have nudity like just in their newspapers. Have you ever heard about that? It's true.
No.
The page 4, page 7 girl or
like
something?
Page 7 girls.
It's more of the tabloidy ones.
Well, maybe. I didn't read any newspapers.
Well, I thought it was like...
It's not maybe in the Financial Times. Oh, page three is just a boob, you know.
Just one.
Richard Branson does it again.
What else you got? Any other highlights?
Highlights? Anybody?
I like the music. The music had that groovy sci-fi vibe that was
the
going
Bernard
off of
Herrmann
it.
Score goes yes. crazy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, when I was watching, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so Hitchcock. And then, yeah, looked at Bernard Herrmann. And I guess he showed it to him. He was in semi-retirement. And he showed it with, like, his other scores, like a rough cut. And he's like, oh, I have the quote. He said, young man, I cannot watch your film while I'm listening to Marnie.
That's hilarious.
No, I feel like this movie is really the beginning of De Palma's like Hitchcock oeuvre, really. Like, and he really like throws it all at the wall here. But like, I like that he really wears his influences on his sleeve. Like, we get Psycho, we get Vertigo, we get Rear Window, we get Rope. And I even think that the mother character, Grace's mom, is kind of a little bit of a nod to North by Northwest.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really all there. I love it. He should start doing director cameos.
Yeah. Creepy old Brian De Palma coming around the corner.
Absolutely. Waiting for the bus.
I believe it's the ghost of Brian De Palma now. Magically appearing and burning itself into the film.
Oh, is he no longer with us?
I thought he was. What? Oh,
twist, another twist.
I have to go to the internet. It's a body double.
It's a body double situation. So, I mean, what the basic plot is, Margot Kidder was a conjoined twin in French Canada. And then at some point, what is it? It's her doctor who's kind of like, hun, I want to jump on you in the middle of a hospital while there are other doctors behind
the glass.
We need
to stop right there because Brian De Palma is in fact alive. So.
Yes, pardon. He lives.
Pardon.
Nice try.
Pardon de moi. Yeah, that was so creepy. That may be the most disturbing part of it. Not her multiple personality, not a conjoined twin. Her creepy molester doctor husband.
What's his name? William Finley, the actor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like as I said, the Phantom from Phantom of the Paradise, another De Palma.
That's.
Yeah.
Sarah's obsessed with that movie.
I'm obsessed with this movie. Yeah. Emil isn't sexy. His character is named Emil. He's not sexy, but you can tell he's so kinky. Like, it's the way he smokes wearing leather gloves and the way he likes to do it with another person in the room.
I see him more in leather in kind of a hostile situation.
Absolutely. Now, he was one of the first thing they give the sister a shot to knock her out because I was like, I can't perform when my conjoined twin is staring at me. Because you got a little something, give her a shot, propofol or something. I mean,
some give her a roofie or something. What about old, what is it? The real conjoined twins.
Chang and Ang.
I want to call him Yin and Yang.
Oh, yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah. They had like 20,000 children.
Yeah.
They did.
So either someone's a strong sleeper, a voyeur, or it's let's all get it on. Let's all
get
it on.
You put up the sheet from It Happened One Night. And you just have to lay still, make sure the sheet doesn't move around.
Well, the weirdest part is you see a photograph of the twins, and it really looks like they're like, it's attached by the spine. I'm like, from this photograph, it looks like they're attached at the cheek. Now,
they're
come
just
on.
Sitting Let's next see. To each other.
Closely next to each other. I think I could have separated them.
And like one pout and one doesn't pout. And that's how you know they're two different people.
Exactly.
Well, what, and the reveal is the pouty one was actually the same one. What was it? And Daniel was actually
the
one.
They did the surgery to separate them. And one died, but she couldn't handle that her sister was dead. So she had this.
She had the split. She had to make her live somehow.
Yeah.
And like Curse of the Cat people, the sister comes out whenever she gets the boinky.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
That's 100%.
Like Norman Bates.
Absolutely, like basketball.
Poor Norman never got any action. He just wanted it, and that was enough.
Couldn't do it.
Did you see the remake of Psycho with Vince Vaughn?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be shot by shot.
Speaking of masturbating.
Yes! Yeah,
Gus Van Sant was like, you know, we can go a little further here.
Add some sound effects as he's peeking through the window at Marion. He's like reaching for some Vaseline. I'm like, this is not shot by shot.
This is not a shot by shot. And if you're going to do a shot by shot, what's the point of the whole movie anyway? We already have one that's shot by shot, and it's good.
The original. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Good
this,
grief.
The living twin, or the so-called good twin is actually the bad twin, is also a Treehouse of Horror.
The Simpsons did everything. The Simpsons were the best.
So I was like, oh, they're too crazy for Girls Town. Too crazy, or too crazy for Girls Town. Too much of a girl for Crazy Town.
Absolutely, because so she goes out with the guy from the show, from the Peeping Tom show,
because
she got an itch that needs to be scratched.
Clearly, well,
because she hadn't eaten dinner.
Yeah, free dinner. Also, he was cute. I thought they had They had great chemistry. They were very charming, both of them.
Yeah.
Until the creepy ex-husband, doctor, ex-doctor shows up.
It's so funny that he's just sitting behind them and at like an adjoining table at dinner. And he waits all meal long to turn around and say, I think we should go home.
I think we're alone.
He was like, well, I won't have to buy her dinner if she does get the free dinner. So let her eat.
I know, exactly. At least wait for dessert, pal.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing is if he was a dirtbag and just bounced, he'd be walking the streets right now. But had to stop, get her and her dead twin a birthday cake and some muffins, and that was it.
So I know. He ordered a happy birthday to the two longest names in the world on the smallest cake ever baked. I wanted to say happy birthday, Dominique and Danielle. And Olympia Dukakis and her coworker are like, you got to be kidding me.
A shockingly young Olympia Dukakis.
Yeah.
Who looks old even though she's young.
She does.
That's true.
And then they end up killing the only good man in 1970s New York.
That was it.
Clearly.
That was how Looking for Mr. Goodbar ended. The end. There we are.
So what is it? The other woman just happens to be looking out the window at just the right time.
Yeah.
To see his bloody handprint. Grace.
Uh-huh. Yes. The investigative reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the domineering mother.
Well, and nobody respects her investigative skills.
No, right? She happens to be looking across her rear window at the moment that it happens and sees the murder. Well, yeah, sees the murder.
I think it was her haircut. They thought she was Jane Fonda in Clute. So.
That's exactly what I said. I said, it looks like they tried to do Clute, but they just put two wigs on top of each other.
No, it was like bedhead mullet is what I wrote down. It was absolutely Clute.
I told Sarah, she said she's been looking for an interesting haircut. I said, there you go.
Boom.
Yeah.
No one else will have it. You and like Pinky Tuscadero.
I don't know if I want to be that interesting.
A lot of people will want to talk to you. And then the police don't want to take the report. They just want to argue with her about her angry letters to the editor.
Well, she wrote a piece about how the cops don't do anything. And then they respond by not doing anything.
You proved me right.
Yeah. I said to Corey, what are they doing? They're not punishing her. They're punishing the guy getting murdered by stalling and taking forever to go upstairs.
Right. And the chief detective was the father from Gimme a Break, if you remember that show with Nell Carter back in the...
barely remember that. I remember Give Me a Break, which they use on the Kit Kat song. And then I remember what Nell Carter looks like. That's it.
That's it?
That's it. I can't keep it all in there. Something's got to go.
The theme song too. Give Me a Break, ooh yeah.
Oh, apparently I only know the Kit Kat song. That has nothing to do with the show. I was completely wrong.
Unrelated.
I thought they lifted it from that. My bad. So I know nothing of that, what you talk of.
And yeah, and that actor.
They don't know.
I know what Give Me a Break is.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm in my 40s.
It was a popular show. It was on for like 5 years or something. Little Matt, Joey Lawrence was in it.
Who's Joey Lawrence?
From Blossom? Good Lord. Anyway, okay.
I kept wanting this Give Me a Break actor to be George C. Scott. And I was like, oh, he's almost George C. Scott. And then he isn't.
That would be a different show if it was with George C. Scott. Aaron might have tuned in for that one.
George well, we C. just C. watched this movie recently. Oh, God. What was it called? Porno?
Hardcore.
I don't remember. Hardcore. Hardcore. Porno. Hardcore. Hardcore, yeah. And I was like, man, he should be in this one too.
Hardcore, we got to talk about that now. We do a lot of bird walks on this show.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but it's something that I want to watch, but not like right before I go to bed.
No, clearly. No. Stipulated. Well, what is it? His daughter like runs away from home.
Yeah,
runs away from a church trip to Knott's Berry Farm, which I guarantee you has happened more than once.
Absolutely. And then what happens? She just falls into the porn world.
He goes to find her, and apparently, I remember were the ads where he's alone in a theater and he's watching something. And he's like,
He hires a private detective, I think, to find her, and he's like, "Well, I found this. You're not gonna like it," and that's what
go
it
to
is.
This theater and watch yeah. it with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah,
Pee Wee Herman might have been there.
He might have been.
But and that's his right as an adult.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, you're allowed to go to such a place. You're allowed to expose yourself with other people.
Well, it's a gray area.
That's why you go there, right?
That is true. It is definitely a gray area.
Quite frankly, I think it's a given if that's what you're going. But what if it's just a hard R? Is that okay or is that not okay?
What about PG-13?
What if they're at the Maya Theater, but it's super
I guess
sexy?
It depends on what the R is for. Is it just for violence? Then that's bad.
That would be weird if you had it. Okay. Interesting.
Bring us back in.
It's hard to do. So, the reveal is, as we've already said, is that she, wasn't even after sex, because they already had sex. It was when he brought her a cake with Dominique's name on it that she pulled out the butcher knife that he was going to use to cut the cake.
But she was already fully Dominique. You could tell because her hair was messy.
That's how you know.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
So either they had just finished and he jumped out of there like in super fast time. Like they just went all night. And then at the last minute, he ran down the stairs to get muffins.
Well, I thought it was an issue with her pills. Like she was running out. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what
it was. And then we hear the conversation between Dominique and Danielle. Then like she's like got a medication issue. He accidentally knocks her last two pills down the sink. And she's like, hey, can you go pick me up my prescription? Like, I'm out of pills. And he's like, yeah. And well, he goes out and he's like, might as well stop in and get a birthday cake. Because he hears the sisters arguing about their birthday, I think. Or no, they're all speaking in French. She tells him it's their birthday, I think.
Yeah.
She had taken two of the pills and was still talking to her invisible sister.
She needed four.
Gotta take the full dose.
And they are what? Just anti-murder pills? Or
they look like ibuprofen for me.
My evil twin has a pop out of my brain pills.
Yeah. They look like ibuprofen to me, and I know two don't work, you gotta take four.
Absolutely. So. I mean, this guy
I don't think you'd be on top of that. I mean, I can guess skipping your birth control, but the I become a different person and I murder a bunch of people, those are like really important pills.
Nope. I religiously took my birth control pill, never missed it. My antidepressant, anti-whatever you want to call it, miss it all the time.
What about your anti-murder pills?
No, they're kind of the same thing.
Easy.
Kind of the same thing.
Good grief. Interesting. So, but he was a sweetheart. He was getting, you know, picking up her prescription. She just met him at the Peeping Tom taping, for goodness sake.
I know.
Very upset.
And then he gets killed in such brutal fashion. Like, imagine getting stabbed through the mouth in last night's underwear. Terrible.
It was awesome. It was kind of like a Dario Argento. Between the crazy music and the stab in the mouth and then the dark sunglasses at the beginning, I was like, we're in Argento town.
The leather gloves.
The leather gloves.
Boom. Black eyeliner. Actually, I was thinking about this. I mean, clearly he needed to be punished because she was kind of drunk when they were getting busy. She was half passed out. This could have been a young woman. But it's 73, so, you know, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Well, he took her on the ferry all the way to Staten Island.
Yeah, he had to put his car on a boat to take her home.
You're right. So she owed him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying. Absolutely.
I know the rules.
Oh, my God.
And I wonder if this is his first split screen.
I think it was.
De Palma's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I think I read that he was like, it just seemed like a good way to show how things were happening. And I agree. I really like the way that he does it. You know,
we see the split screen
when Grace calls the cops and then they're coming and she's waiting. We see the split screen with what's happening in the apartment while they're cleaning up. And like the mirror between Grace and Danielle is really cool. And no split diopters. It's another De Palma TM there, but none of those yet. He hadn't figured out that setting, maybe. I don't know. But just the split screens, and I love them. He does it a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Keep it.
So I kept thinking that they were going to reveal, like, that the reporter across the way was always her other sister or something.
Yeah. All these red herrings.
One of the first things I said to Corey when we were watching it, because we both were like, I always forget how this ends. I said, oh, no, there's three of them because she looks like a triplet.
Yeah, I was like, they're making me think one really died, so she's probably still alive. Like, I was overthinking it.
Yeah.
Right. It was just a split personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I really like the way she learns, like, the information where she's drugged, but she's hearing the story, but we see it from her point of view. Very
Like a dream sequence.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know. I love that dream sequence. It's so kooky. I don't know. It's very, not pulpy isn't the word, but it is just really, like, old-timey, like, the little pinhole coming in and out, you know.
Black,
it's really cool. Like very Nickelodeon, not the TV channel, but in the original terms, like, you know.
Right.
Like
no slime.
Yeah, no slime. But like somebody's cranking the reel at the back, you know, to show you what's happening. It's really cool.
Well, there were like guys doing the river dance, like with hairstyles.
There was a lot of dream logic. Like she sees the surgery that separates them, and they take a knife out of the cutlery set that Danielle had won on the show that they meet on. Like, just a lot of like weird stuff like that. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, the dream sequence was great. My favorite part is them stuffing his body into the folding couch, though.
We didn't even talk about that. That was freaking amazing. And then she's like sitting on it, flopping on the couch. Oh. I expect somebody to be like, this is a little lumpy. No, not at all. Very comfortable.
And somebody challenged De Palma on whether or not a body could fit in the couch. And he was like, I'll show you it can. So that's why, like, you see them putting the body in, like, not exactly in one take, but that part in one take. Because he was like,
they just gotta force it down. The actor loved that, by the way.
There's a reason he was a string bean, I think.
Right.
Well, and Charles Durning, the private
was not going to fit in there.
No,
he would not. But he susses it out. So that's the first like confirmation that it's not like, hey, you're crazy. Clearly, you're crazy, investigative reporter. So that's
what I don't understand. Get real. She's unmarried. She's insane.
She's got female problems.
Yeah. as everybody tells her.
Just there.
Where is the mattress? The police were there.
They rolled it up and like put it off to the side, I think.
The police were there 3 seconds later with the angry reporter who they allowed to conduct the investigation and search the house. And nobody noticed a weird rolled up mattress.
Well, didn't the husband take down some trash?
Yeah. He took down, I think he did take down the mattress. He had a big roll in a trash bag. The cops took so long that Emil had time to be blundering even. Like he slips and falls and like drops a bunch of stuff. So yeah, he takes the mattress down, I believe.
So was that like comic relief when he's bumbling around with the with the evidence?
Blundering Emil.
So here's the thing. So Emil was down on the street looking up at the window, like just waiting for the murder to occur. Is that what the story was?
She calls. They trick him into leaving the night before. And then when she's running out of her pills, she calls him and is like, "You've got to come. I'm going crazy." So he comes, and at that point she doesn't realize that she's killed somebody. When Emil comes, he's like, "What happened?"
Well, the dude sees him out the window when he's like
the night before.
He's just on the case, I guess, right?
Oh yeah.
There's no cell phones then, so he needed to be standing by watching her go on dates and telling everybody else he's crazy.
Well, didn't we establish that she loved the doctor? I mean, they were married. Did we skip over the marital discord? Right?
That's right. "Please drug my sister so we can get busy while Tex film us." How about that?
I don't know. Maybe after the split, and not their marital split, but the split of the two sisters from each other, things just weren't the same.
She's like, "I can do better now."
Yeah.
You know that's what it was. Well, they said she was a model, right? So she got
and
separated.
An actress. Come on now.
Occasionally.
Our accent work, I'll tell you what. Yeah. As a fine actress. "Yes, I'm an actress as well." It's like, okay.
And again, there's a weird confusion because you see the scar on the top of her thigh. Still not the spine, I might add.
Okay, I was confused by that first too, but I think that's where her sister stabbed her when she was pregnant.
Oh, that's right. Well, that would cause a miscarriage, would it? I'm not
a stabber. Stabs her with garden shears.
Yeah,
in the thigh.
I don't think it's in the thigh core. Where they show the scarring is like really kind of hard to pin down because we see like most of her whole leg when we see them on her couch that night, her and her date from the hidden camera show. And then they zoom in really tight as like her dress comes up further. So I think it is on their back, but towards the back. On the side, but towards the back. Yeah.
Okay. Because then it was her thigh. It was like, because his hand runs over it.
When they have Grace touch it later on before the dream sequence, it's on her side.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, why have Grace touch it?
I don't know. That's how you absorb information.
Check this out.
There was a code, like a Braille code in the scar that she needed to remind herself about.
That makes sense. Now,
but then Emil had to clean up the white carpet in 15 seconds.
It's tile. I literally watched it again right before we came on. And I was like, oh, it's a good thing she doesn't have carpet. Like, it's tile. And Grace almost catches like the whole thing right in that moment because she is looking in the fridge and finds the rest of the birthday cake because they did have the foresight to put the cake in the fridge. They were like, the cake is fine. So just put that in the fridge.
Sorry, don't waste that.
Don't waste that. So yeah, she comes out like, she does have a sister, Dominique and Danielle. And then she slips after we already saw Emil slip and she drops the cake. And then that's how Grace ends up on candid camera.
When you least expect it.
It's amazing the cake wasn't damaged during the brutal murder that occurred while the guy was holding the cake. But good times. Nice of Grace just like dropped the cake on the floor. I'm not sure that's evidence of a crime, by the way. Here's a cake. It has names on it.
Depends on how good the cake is.
I've ruined the only evidence. Any other scene you ever talk about?
I have a quote from one of the detectives when she's urging them. When she's urging him to go up, someone's being stabbed. His comment was, "These people are always stabbing each other."
Yep.
Because white people are always just stabbing each other?
No, because she called in and said it was a black guy.
Yes, it was racial politics.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Damn it. That's why there's another article, officer.
Yep.
It writes itself.
That's why she threatened them with that, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone think the stuff in her refrigerator was a little odd? It's nothing but raw meat.
It always is. And tab. Well, she's a model. She's a model, so I'm
and an actress.
So this is model food. Yeah.
Just raw meat and tab. That's all you need.
Right. Keeps her cigarettes in the freezer.
Yeah. She's an early adapter to the Atkins. There you go.
Yeah.
So later in the movie, when she's investigating, what is it, the halfway house for the insane, a weird like gardener pops up out of the bushes in the middle of the night to do some trip. Now, was he a crazy person?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
They don't generally do hedge work like that late in the evening.
Who's designing?
On hedges that are already trimmed.
He really wasn't like connecting with the trimmer, was it?
It was kind of air cutting. Yeah. But it's nice that they gave him
real
edge trimmers in the crazy place.
No wonder it was so easy to stab your sister with garden shears.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Now, I have one last question. Why was Charles Durning up on the telephone pole in the closing moments?
Because he was following that couch, man. He had to see who picked it up on the other end, and it was that cow.
The cow chained to, like, the sofa coffin, and Charles Durning needed to be way up in the air just to watch it.
Yep.
Because no one's going to notice him up there.
He doesn't want to blow his cover.
5 feet away.
He's a lineman for the county. Yep. So I guess that's true. He already knew the body was in.
Uh-huh. He tells her, I'm following it. I'm going to see who picks it up.
Yeah, he thought it was some bigger conspiracy, but not too hard too.
That was the end. Well, she didn't tell, like, no one ever tells him.
Hey, no, he's still on the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't communicate very well.
They forgot he was even up there. He's just racking up per diems every day.
Like, I'm going to retire on this case.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Never ending case. Shall we go behind the scenes? Or do you guys have any other scenes you want to talk about?
I just think it's interesting. I mean, not interesting, but De Palma must have thought it would have been too much for Grace to have a broken leg. Because otherwise, we're fully Rear Window.
Oh, I see. So she's compelled to sit by the window because she's infirmed in some way. Rather than just kind of bizarre chance and coincidence.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, you got to have her like running around the city, right?
Too obvious. Too obvious.
It'd be rough if she's out there with a crutch or something.
Yeah.
So often the windows are open and you don't see. When I was in I used to live in dorms in my high school, and we went, like, when the school would start to scare the new people, we would literally just sit in the window. We drew like eye pencil mustaches and stood right in the window. People came in, people were getting dressed. Nobody saw us. It was not until we banged on the windows that people were like, we were like, hello, there's like five of us standing here. You don't see it. So it was a very lucky she was able to notice that.
Yeah, it had to be the right time of day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, she looked in there earlier, right?
Like, yeah, I think they wave at each other.
That's what it is.
The night before she sees, I can't remember his name. I want to say it's Philip, maybe. The original guy that's killed, she sees him the night before through the window. And he's like, is there another one of them across there?
Which they don't look alike. They don't look alike. Why
I think they do.
Is it the bullet that's throwing me off?
I don't think they look that similar.
Mm-mm. I don't know. But she's always looking for a scoop. So, of course, she's a nosy neighbor.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'd be looking if I lived that close. I'd be like watching everybody.
When you do live that close to people, you kind of just have to, like she says, like if I was to be conscious of that, I would have to pull my windows down and like all the time. So I just have to live my life.
Yeah.
And that's true. When you do live that way, you have to make that choice.
Just do your thing, right?
Do your thing.
Truth.
Yep.
Absolutely. Let's go behind the scenes, shall we?
All right.
Let's see. Brian De Palma said the film's producer doubted anyone could be stuffed into a sofa bed, just like you said. But the director recalls, I shot it in one shot to show that you can actually fit somebody into a sofa
yep.
bed.
What, to give people ideas on how to get rid of bodies?
That's not a very good way. I mean, even if you put it by the curb, somebody would figure something out. Eventually.
And sofa beds are heavy as f***.
This just makes me think that this producer did not have little sisters and a grandma with a sofa bed growing up. Because I could have told you that you could put a whole person in a sofa bed.
Absolutely. Margot Kidder and Jennifer Salt were roommates in Southern California in the early 70s while they were struggling performers.
Oh, so they knew each other.
They knew each other. So they held parties for their friends and neighbors who included Paul Schrader, Blythe Danner, Bruce Paltrow, and Brian De Palma. And one year at Christmas, they opened up Christmas presents from Brian De Palma and they were the script for this movie. Boom.
All right. Boom.
I think Margot Kidder and Brian De Palma even dated.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. I was saying 70s era Margot Kidder is a foxy Margot Kidder. I got to tell
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
I think that's pretty widely accepted.
There's a shot in the dark here.
Talk about controversial opinions. Wow.
I hope you guys are sitting down.
Lois Lane? Whoa.
Woo-la-la. While the majority of the film was shot on 35mm film, the dream sequence was shot on 16mm film to give it a more gritty, atmospheric appearance.
What about the little Clockwork Orange dudes that are dancing around? You got a story about them?
No.
Oh, okay. I was hoping for something.
Jennifer Salt's real-life mother, Mary Davenport, portrayed her mother in this scene, in this movie. So oh, there you go.
Interesting.
Isn't that nice? I think that's about it. Shall we talk about the cast and crew?
All right.
Let's see. We know Brian De Palma was the writer and the director. You know him from such amazing classics as Body Double,
Carrie,
Snake Eyes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Not familiar with Snake Eyes.
The first Mission Impossible.
This goes on and on, for goodness sake. Let's see. Margot Kidder played Danielle. How do they pronounce her name? Breton. You know her from Superman, Black Christmas, Superman 2, Amityville Horror, all sorts of good stuff. Jennifer Salt played Grace Collier. You know her from, she was a producer on 71 yes. episodes of American Horror Story.
Yes! Oh, cool. And Nip Tuck.
Wow.
She played Sharon in Play It Again, Sam in 1972. She was, of course, Grace Collier in Sisters. And she was in 65 episodes of Soap playing Eunice Tate. If you remember that show from the 70s. Let's see. Charles Durning played Joseph Larch, the private detective.
You know him. We love him. Yeah.
Sure do.
He was in Dog Day Afternoon, The Final Countdown. He was Doc Hopper in the Muppet Movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? The list goes on and on. He was in Tootsie.
He's in everything. They just put him in everything.
Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
He was in Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. That is true.
As a vigilante postman.
Olympia Dukakis was uncredited in this movie, by the way. She had lines. She was Louise Wolanski. You know her from such things as Moonstruck.
Hell yeah.
Magnolias.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
In the Land of Women. Cloudburst.
Okay. No, now you're just saying nonsense. Just
I just watch Moonstruck over and over.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I don't have
right
time
there.
For anything else.
Bernard Hughes played Arthur McLennan, who was the first reporter that was did the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
He was
that kind of squirrely guy.
He was the squirrely guy. He was he played Grandpa in The Lost Boys.
That's what I was that I couldn't right. That was bothering me. See? I was like, I know this guy, I know his voice, and I was like, I'm not gonna look it up. But that's what it was.
Right.
He was in Tron in 1982.
Okay.
He was in Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit as Father Maurice. And he was in Doc Hollywood with Michael J. Fox. Last one. Not the last one. There's a million characters, but I'm not going to do them all. William Finley played Emile Breton. You know him from Phantom of the Paradise.
Hell yeah.
The Fury in 1978, Black Dahlia in 2006, and of course, Sisters. Good stuff. Let's look at the ratings, shall we? Sisters currently has 85%.
Whoa! Whoa!
Yeah.
You know what the audience gave it?
Frightened. Okay, here we go.
What do you think?
86.
73.
72. Ooh. Corey's so good at this. That's bad. My partner right there.
Okay, Sisters, the top critics. Pauline Kael from The New Yorker says, the facetious dialogue is a wet blanket and De Palma isn't quite up to his apparent intention.
Come on, Pauline.
Creep thrills that are also a parody of old corn. I don't know what that means, Pauline. Good grief.
We
never usually know. I'm riding with Pauline. She gets it wrong sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. I don't think she likes Godfather either.
What? Ridiculous. Gene Siskel from the Chicago Sun-Times says, during a second viewing, filled with the security of knowing when to look away, I was able to really watch the picture and found it to be one of the best thrillers I've seen.
When he's not too thrilled. As long as you don't thrill him too much, he loves it.
Well, I mean, was there much you had to turn away from in this movie, in all honesty?
Not really.
No. There was some gross stuff, but, you know, I like some gross stuff.
He's very sensitive.
What did Rex Reed have to say?
I was looking for him. Roger Ebert from the Chicago Sun-Times. De Palma directs with a nice feeling for the incongruous. Is that helpful?
That is the extent of the review?
I mean, that's the highlight of the review. 3 out of 4 for Roger Ebert. And one more. Vincent Canby of the New York Times. Just the thing to see on one of those nights when you want to go to the movies for the old-fashioned fun of it. 4 out of 5.
Sure. I could see that.
What is your rating, Aaron?
All right, the more we talk about it, I kind of like it a little bit more. So, I am going to give it 3 out of 5 luscious kisses from Emile.
Ooh.
No! Ooh. That's yucky!
A tender little slap with the glove.
That is unethical doctoral behavior, by the way.
That is true.
He's way past license. That.
Clearly. Sarah, what is your review? What's your rating?
2 out of 3 triplets. 2 out of 3 conjoined triplets.
That's a good one. And what about you, Corey?
Out of 5, I'm going to go 4 out of 5 birthday cakes.
That sounds like Danielle talking to
me. I'm speaking to Dominique right now. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. I found it very bizarre. I felt it was a collection of really, I mean, from Peeping Tom, you know, you're off on some crazy wild ride. I'm going to say 2.5 out of 5.
What? Yeah, my rating's higher than yours? What the hell, Kevin?
2.5 out of 5.
Wow.
Inappropriate patient-doctor relationships. So that's what I would say about that. No, it's not bad. I think if you are a De Palma completist, I think you'd need to... You need to check it out. You know what it is? I think I find like movies like Dress to Kill and Body Double kind of more fun than this one was. So
yeah.
I barely was on TikTok while I watched it. So that's a good sign. Because some of the movies you make me watch, I'm like, where's my phone?
That is true.
Kevin, just admit you got too thrilled.
Rewatch it.
Is it Kevin or is it Kavina we're talking to right now?
That's exactly. It's my split personality from my conjoined twin. No question. No question. So, thank you very much. Go to our page on X, Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on Blue Sky. I don't know if anybody else is on Blue Sky. We're on Threads. Is anybody on Threads? Who's to say? You can also watch us on YouTube. Oh, goodness. Don't forget to email us at thepodcastthatwouldn'tdie@gmail.com. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. Aaron, what is your social media situation?
I'm on all the same stuff, except I'm not on Blue Sky. I am on Tumblr and Flickr, though. I'm on Artsy and First Dibs. I'm on Instagram. I'm the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. Follow Kevin and you will find me there.
Good stuff. So, guys, tell us about your podcast and where can we find it?
Our podcast is about 80s slashers specifically. So we have a list
and
we're working
dick
on.
Dick jokes generally.
Yeah. We have a list we're working off of over 500 movies. So we're making a small dent in that. But
yeah.
But we're on Instagram. At Instagram, I gag me with a chainsaw. That's about it. We have a website. We have a t-shirt.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Got a hilarious joke on it.
As you guys know, or maybe you know, we like to include certain comments, questions from the internet, from our friends and strangers. Let's see. I had it here a second ago.
Are these Reddit questions or from Quora or
this is some of his jackass friends leave comments about various movies
from time to time. Talking about our episode of The People Under the Stairs, John Affleck says, "Never saw it, but I remember you saying it was very creepy." Okay.
We're really reaching for comments now. Yeah.
The trailer looks wild. So, thank you very much for that comment.
Four or five people gave us hearts.
Hey, I listened to that episode, and I think I like that movie a lot better than you guys do. I love that movie.
When I first saw it, I thought it was the greatest movie I ever saw. We used to just call my ex-husband. I used to call it the Rocker Dudes Under the Stairs. It's like Spicoli and his tribe were just like locked up under the stairs.
Oh, man, I'd love to lock Sean Penn under some stairs.
The more wrinkled and desiccated he gets, the more sexy.
There was no deodorant or anything, no mouthwash under the stairs. Very upsetting. Good grief. Next week, we'll be discussing the 80s classic, The Fly, with Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis. David Cronenberg classic.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh my God, it made me scream out loud.
I love a Goldblum, though.
It made me do this, hands on the side of my face, classic scream. And I was too thrilled.
I think this was the movie that let us know that Jeff Goldblum is jacked. I had no idea. This wasn't Big Chill Goldblum, truly. You know,
no, he's pretty ripped.
It's crazy.
Was it Death Wish Goldblum?
It might have been. We'll be joined next week with our buddy Carlo from the Movie Loot podcast. So look forward to that. So send in any favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and we may talk about it on the show.
Oh, we will for sure.
So thank you very much. And thank you, Corey and Sarah from the Gag Me With a Chainsaw podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's fun.
And be well.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.